And jump right in. Thought we were finishing up last week, but we have another lesson on wisdom, and so Book of Proverbs, and chapter 25. We'll start there. Hi. We got somebody to grab a baby here. She loves that sand there. Abby was just the same way when she was a girl. Causing problems. You're walking around during church, so. We're going to read one verse in Proverbs 25, then turn to Proverbs 28. Today we're going to talk about the wisdom of who to admire. The wisdom of who to admire. And Proverbs 25. Verse 26, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It's like a well or a spring or a fountain. It brings out bad water that's going to poison you. A righteous person, Proverbs 25 and verse 26, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Proverbs 28, verse 4. They that forsake the law, the Bible, praise the wicked. But such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight, Father. We need our minds renewed in this subject. We need our minds straightened out. We need to get things right in this area. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in a great way and in a powerful way and speak to us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it gives us this guidance. And Lord, there's so much in the word of God. It's such a, it's 66 different books. It's so deep and so much in there. And Lord, I think this is something that most Christians don't understand, don't really see, don't look close enough. But every answer for life is in here, Father. And I pray you'd help us in this one. Lord, I believe this is what you have for us tonight. It wasn't what we were planning on doing tonight, but you seem to want us to continue in wisdom. And wisdom is a principal thing, so we ask you to give us that wisdom. Fill us with your Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Lord, may the Spirit do a mighty work, whether it's a screaming and shouting sermon, a revival service, or a deep conviction, or a renewing of the mind. Whatever it is, I pray that the Spirit would move and lead and guide us into all truth. And thank you for what the Word gives us. Please, Lord, help us to see your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you admire? Who do you look up to? The Bible has a lot to say about that. And it says that the righteous shouldn't bow before the wicked and shouldn't be admiring of them. Proverbs in 28 here, verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. Praise the wicked. And such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. We have better discernment than to do that when we follow the Bible. During this recent gay marriage thing, they don't show, the media doesn't show the gay pride parades with the way they act and the way they dress and the weirdness of all of that. The media will take a camera and zoom in on this normalist looking gay couple as they get married with all their happiness. They go and they praise the wicked, and gay marriage is wicked. Amen. One man, one woman is God's way when they're married, and that's God's way. And that's that the Bible says. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Read Romans 1. It's all over the place. It's very clear in the Bible. God says that. Yet our nation likes to praise wicked people. The people who are promoted, the people who are on the magazine stands are wicked people. Matter of fact, most of the, almost exclusively, a huge percentage of the entertainment industry is wicked people. And that's who young people admire. People who are in rehab, people who can't stay married, people who live as whoremongers, people who live in fornication, people who are drug addicts, people who are wicked and vile, and those are admired and look up to. Why? Because we've forsaken the law. But that's not God's way. One of the biggest reasons... He talked about the statistics of the percentage of people who leave the will of God when they leave the home as Christians. One of the biggest things is they have the wrong heroes. They admire the wrong people. I want to say this. It is totally normal for who you look up to, you to emulate in your life. You don't believe that? Go to any basketball court and watch the kids. You'll see a kid. LeBron! Or Kobe! Whenever we were kids, we used to do the hook shot. Who do we say with the hook shot? Are we old enough to remember? Kareem! We do the hook shot. We'd always do that. And that's what they wanted to be. And by the way, they started buying their shoes. Kids in the project with no money with $125, $150 pair of Air Jordans. Because their hero wore them. You got to be very careful who your heroes are going to be. You got to be very careful who you admire. Who your kids are pointed towards. Who your kids look up to. Because they will emulate them. They will emulate them in a lot of different things. As soon as some wicked Hollywood person, as soon as some wicked musician, as soon as some wicked rap artist or pop culture icon, as soon as she starts wearing weird makeup, guess what every 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old girl does? Doesn't matter how unattractive it is. I'm going to wear 16 pounds of mascara in my eyes and look like a zombie. But the attractive girl did it on TV, and I want to be just like her. They didn't ever say that. 10 years ago, every girl bleached her hair blonde to try to look like Britney Spears. Is that her name? Did I get her name right? I'm not into pop culture. And every girl tried to look just like her 10 years ago. And by the way, she turned out real well, didn't she? Already in her early 20s, already divorced, already messed up, already fighting for custody, already in rehab. Yeah, that's where they go. And we'll talk about that a little later. And it doesn't matter how weird they look. Girl, nowadays, the look is anorexia. You need to look like you just were starved to death and got out of prison camp and just made it with a zombie. And now you're going to be attractive, and that's the way to look. And then all the girls try to look like that. It's like your skin is white. Take some iron or whatever you're doing to make yourself look so terrible. Eat some food. You're weird looking. But it is attractive for a little while because the person who is now the hero is like that. And it doesn't matter how stupid the style is, who they admire, they will follow. They will dress like, act like. The strange thing is, the Bible says that the younger women should follow the older women and teach them how to be modest and how to have their home and how to be a good wife. But we don't learn from mom anymore. We learn from some wicked 20-year-old who doesn't know her brain from her shoe. And we follow these wrong people, and we let our kids start having icons. And we have the wrong people to admire. And the Bible says we're not supposed to do that. That's not God's way. You naturally emulate those people. You will dress like them, no matter how goofy it is. And by the way, if you don't know this, if you don't know this, whatever the styles are right now, you will hide the pictures of yourself in those styles in 20 years and deny ever having wore what we wear today. I laugh every, I see these kids going around with their hair going like this. Do you know how much they're going to laugh at themselves someday? I look like a shark. What was wrong with me? What was I thinking? They're going to all laugh at themselves someday. You know, hippies were cool and tie-dye was awesome. And these people thought they're every generation. And because they follow, and at one point it was Elvis, and one point it was the Beatles, and one point it was somebody else, and one point it came to be Britney Spears, and now it's not. And one point it's Lady Gaga, and now it's not. And then next month it's going to be somebody else, and there's going to be some guy, and it's going to be some athlete, and everybody's going to say, oh, they're so cool, I'm going to look like that. And then you find out that styles change. And people become disasters, and they're not cool anymore. We are not supposed to envy evil people. Let me take you to Proverbs chapter 24. We have to be careful who we admire, who we look up to. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their hearts study at destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Verse 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Why? For there shall be no reward to the evil man, and the candle of the wicked shall be put out. Do not admire them. Listen, The advertising is fantastic. The billions of dollars spent in advertising is incredible to make you think that lifestyle is awesome, to make you think that their lives are awesome. You would think that every guy who goes out and drinks beer is having a fun, laughing at a big party. He's a slim, trim, muscular guy. Have you ever seen what goes in and out of bars? You ever seen the women? The ones who are hanging around the bars all day don't look like the women in the Bud Light commercial. Okay? Yet people believe that stuff. And they get this image in their mind of what, that's what I'm going to be like if I'll just drink Miller Lite. And women will hang all over me, and men will all be staring at me, and I'll be all this and all that. And listen, people get these images because there's an incredible amount of money. They put these people on TV, and they do these incredible things with special effects, and they look so strong and look so incredible, and I want to be just like them. And it's not real, and their lives are a wreck, and they're in rehab again, and they're divorced for the fourth time, and their kids have three different dads, and their kids are going to grow up and be drug addicts. And it's a miserable life, but boy, Hollywood makes it look awesome. Why are an incredibly high a number of them drug addicts if they're happy? Drugs are an escape from lack of happiness. Yet they're drug addicts and alcoholics galore. And we see that because we see that. You're not to envy evil people. But they've got a beautiful woman. They drive a Ferrari. They drive a Lamborghini. They've got a beautiful... She's got everything. Everybody screams and yells and howls at her. Listen, don't envy them. Don't envy them. Hollywood child stars, everyone's laughing and looking at them. They're making all kinds of money, and they're famous, and everybody thinks they're so cute. Check a Hollywood childhood star at 25 if they're still alive. Yeah, they're having a lot of fun, and they're famous, and everybody laughs at them and smiles at them, and they get a private tutor, and they make a lot of money. And then, don't envy them. Wickedness has a price to it. Do not envy evil people. The person that goes around in high school, you usually find out if you go to high school reunions, the nerdy guy that didn't have time for the social life is now the cool guy. And the guy who was really cool and didn't have time to study is now the loser. And guess who the girls want to dance with at the reunion? The nerdy guy. The guy who's doing a lot better. And the guy who dropped out, everybody's envious of him. And he doesn't go to school in the morning. You won't be envious of him at 25. Or 30, or 35, or 40, or 45, or 50, or 55, or 60, or 65, or 70. Because you don't need to envy the wicked. When somebody goes around and some girl is going around and living loosely and going around and sleeping around, and she's having fun and getting all the boys' attention, and I'm just not getting to do all that fun stuff, check back on her emotions at 30. Don't envy her. She's wicked. She's wicked. Don't envy her. She's going to be very dissatisfied the rest of her life. Her emotions are going to be a disaster. She's going to have a hard time with her. She'll be on antidepressants before she hits 25. Easy. Check back at 18 probably. Because you don't envy wicked people, God says. Don't want to be like them. Don't look up to them. Don't want to be like them. Number two, don't honor foolish people. Proverbs 26. Don't honor foolish people. Proverbs 26, verse 1. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Verse 8. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. When you stick your sling in and you keep the rock and you tie it in there on somebody, it's wrong. A foolish person shouldn't be honored. Oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, you're so great. Oh, you're so creative. No, they're foolish. They don't listen. They don't learn. They're not living a wise life. They're not making good decisions. Number three, do not lie about the wicked people. Do not lie about wickedness. Proverbs 24. Verse 24. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him, rebuke the wicked, shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Do not say the wicked, you're righteous. Not because somebody's wicked, and by the way, the wicked many times are cool because we live in an immoral society, so we magnify the wicked, but don't you do that. And don't be the kind of person who goes and magnifies the wicked. Boy, everybody is looking at the baby right now. Do not magnify the wicked baby. And when that happens, when you do that, the Bible says you're not supposed to say, oh, they're such a good person, though. I'm already getting myself in trouble in this whole message, but let me get myself in real trouble here for a second here.
You're doing fine.
Thank you. One person with me, and the baby is mad at me even. Listen, when you go and you say, they're really a good person, I know they probably shouldn't do that, but no. If they're doing wickedness, they're wicked. And we've got to stop this. They have a good heart. Okay, if they have a good heart, why are they sleeping with somebody and living with somebody they're not married to? Amen. That's wicked. The Bible says they're destroying their own soul. It's a sin that puts Jesus on the cross. The Bible says it's wicked. They're a good person. They just have a disease. No, they're choosing to stuff their brain and their body full of drugs and alcohol. Okay, they don't have diabetes. They don't have cancer. They don't have leukemia. They're choosing to do something. They have a choice. And yes, it becomes an addiction. But you know what? We go and we like to glorify. And we like to glorify the prodigal, but not the son who stayed at home. But I want to say, let's glorify the good kids who do right. Let's glorify the adults who have stayed married. Instead of saying, well, you know what? They got divorced, but God can still use them. They're great. Okay, now God can still use them. I understand that. And we have a lot of mercy for people. And we rebuild a lot of lives. We understand that. But you know what? We are too much glorifying the person who's messed up, not the person who stayed right. When the person wants to come back to God, who's wandering away from God, we're for them. We love them. And we'll rejoice. However, you know what? That's not the person we glorify. Let's glorify the person who stayed in the will of God. Amen. Who didn't go hurt Jesus and sin against him. Don't say to the wicked, you're righteous. When you go out witnessing, let's not be afraid to say, yes, you are a sinner. We're not trying to be rude. We're not trying to be obnoxious. We're not trying to offend people. We're speaking the truth in love. But you know what? We can't call wickedness righteous. Amen. We just can't do it. We got to say, sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. God is right. That's wrong. That's wicked. Got to just call it like it is. And not just lie about it. Listen, we cannot continue on in a culture that has digressed so low when there's terrible immorality everywhere. And we go and we say about a girl who goes out and gets pregnant at 16, she's such a good girl. No, she did something very wrong and just put a little baby in big trouble in their life. Okay? It's not a cute thing. It is not a thing to glorify. That girl, as you looked down and said, you just made a big mistake. Your child you might have to put it up for adoption because you're going to have a rough life. And your daughter's going to have a rough life. Or your son's going to have a rough life. You better change this around, girl. Amen. It's wrong and wicked for teenage girls to get pregnant or anybody else outside marriage. Amen. And we cannot call it righteous. Now, we've taken care of those girls. We've helped those girls. We've had them in our house. We've taken care of them. We've paid their bills. We've done everything in the world for them. We will have compassion on them and love them. But we cannot in our society continue to call wrong right. Amen. It's wrong. Amen. Okay, we've got to begin to not call the wicked righteous. The Bible says, nations shall abhor the person that calls wicked righteous. Next, do not follow vain people. Proverbs 28. Do not follow vain people. Love everybody, lift up the fallen, help the needy, be their friend, all those things. Do not kick them out of your life. Do not say you'll never talk to them again. None of those things. Have compassion. And by the way, we do. We're the first one at their side. We're the one who are in their house helping them. We're the one who feed them and take care of them and do all those things. However, we are going to start calling wrong, wrong. Amen. And we're going to start saying, this is wrong and you're doing wrong and you're being wicked. We do not call the wicked righteous. Next, do not follow vain people. Proverbs 28 and verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. The word vain in the Bible in the Bible means emptiness. Follow after empty people. Empty people are doing nothing. Empty people have nothing inside them real. They're manipulating everybody. They're they're putting on an act. They do not have anything real and integrity and greatness to them. They're empty people. Don't follow people who have nothing inside. Outside, they might have a lot of fluff. Outside, they might be a lot of fun. They might make you smile. Let me ask, what are the inside? Are they people of integrity? I didn't ask if they're fun to be around. Excuse me. I didn't ask if they're entertaining. Are they real? Do they have goodness? Do they know what they're doing? Are they somebody you want to follow? Don't follow vain people. Some of these athletes are vain. They're empty. Not all of them. One of the most embarrassing things in the world is people like Evander Holyfield going around telling everybody he's a Christian and has six babies with six different women while he's going around telling everybody he's a Christian. That's an empty person there. That's an empty person there. There's nothing inside. Flashy, great on the outside, yet vanity, emptiness. When it comes down to it, there's no integrity inside. There's no realness inside. There's no godliness inside. I'm not talking he had six with six different women, but and then he got saved. I'm talking he was walking around saying that while he's impregnating women. They weren't his wives. Emptiness, vain. There's nothing real in there. Talkers. Don't follow talkers. Follow walkers. And there's vain people. Don't follow vain people. Next, gather with godly people, not with sinners. Gather together with godly people, not sinners. Psalms 26. Go over in Psalm 26. There's a wisdom in who we admire, who we look up to. Proverbs 26. Psalms 26 again. Sorry, and verse 5. Excuse me. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all of thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. I'm hanging around with the godly, not with sinners. I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be hanging around the right kind of people. Next, don't envy. Let me take you to Proverbs chapter 3. Don't envy people who oppress. Proverbs 3. Do not envy people who oppress. Proverbs chapter 3. Oppress means push people down, keep people down, do bad things to people. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. God's secret, God's blessing, God's truth is with righteous people. Don't envy those who oppress. There are people in our society. Now, there's different types of wickedness. There's a wickedness of people who live terribly and immorally, and people who are music stars who go and live terribly immoral lives while they're on the road. And there's the immorality of the oppressor, which is somebody who's very, very wealthy and steps on people to become wealthy and abuses people and uses people. And that's the oppressor and a person who controls people and does bad things like that. And those people come in all types of forms. They're on Wall Street. They're in charge of religions. They're in all kinds of different things. Don't envy oppressing people, even though they seem to have everybody serving them, because God doesn't bless them. God blesses the righteous. So don't envy oppressive people. Don't do that. Next, take the wicked out of your life. Proverbs 25, take the wicked out of your life. You'll do better with them, not in your life. Proverbs 25, verse 5. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Take away the wicked. Can I just say this? When you talk to somebody and find out their past, you always can have compassion, and you should. When you find out somebody's story and you say they have a good heart, you can love people, and that's good. You should. However, don't surround yourself with people who have good hearts and bad actions. Surround yourself with people who have good hearts and good actions. We have way too many talkers that ruin way too many lives because good people say, well, but they mean well, but they're doing wickedly. And the Bible says that even a child is known by his doings. What are you doing? Not what do you intend? Not what do you wish you were doing? Not what does it break your heart you can't do? You minister to people who need to be delivered and need help. That's great. Minister to them. But don't hang around them and don't surround yourself with them. Once they're doing the right thing, then you can be with them and hang around them. Otherwise, you're going to be with them and help them and lift them up, but you're not staying around them all day. They're not living it through. You're not hanging around them. They're not your best friends. You're loving them and you're ministering to them. A doctor goes to the hospital and takes care of sick people, then goes home to his family who's healthy. And you go do those things, but you don't do surgery at home. Okay? And so we want to go and take the wicked out of our lives. Those by their actions, not by their words, not by their intentions, not by their heart, their actions. We want to take the wicked away from our lives. So let me say this. When you go and see some guy, but he's the best basketball player. Okay? LeBron James, the best basketball player right now. Has three children with his high school sweetheart. Who he's still not married to. So maybe he's not a good person for your kids to look up to. Guys, more impressed. Kevin Durant. I heard him interviewed in the radio. They said, what do you keep in your bag? What's the first thing you have in there? And they were interviewing all the different basketball players. And they were saying, you know, I have my iPod and I have my laptop and I have my this and that. And the first thing he said is my Bible. I always have my Bible in there. And then he said, I have my iPod and iPad and laptop and whatever else he has in there. First thing he said is he has a Bible. Now, I don't know his life. I don't know anything else. But you know what? Don't let your kid put a poster on the wall of some guy who you don't want to emulate his life, who you don't want your kids to turn out like. And kids, don't put the poster of some girl on your wall, some singer, some actress who you don't want to be like. Okay? You don't need to have these people who are because who you make your heroes, who you look up to, who you admire, you emulate them in the way you talk and dress and do your hair. And the way you turn out. Why? Because they're people you look up to. You kind of see that one of the things that the reason that teenagers starting at 10 years old, they search for identity, and we all did. We all try to find that. We search for this identity, and we're trying to find someone to look up to up there and say, I want to be like them. We might not even say those words, but somewhere in our life, we start going after somebody. It's an athlete. It's a movie star. It's a singer. It's a musician. It's somebody older than us. It's some cool guy at school. It's some beautiful girl in college. It's whoever it is, and all of a sudden, we start emulating a lifestyle because we see, and that's, I want to say this, it's normal to try to find someone to emulate. It is supposed to be your mom and your dad. That is who you're supposed to emulate. The problem is they've been taught their mom and dad are bad and nerdy and stupid and foolish. And sometimes mom and dad were foolish and stupid. And now they've got to search. Who do I want to turn out like? When little boys look at their dad and their dad's a great guy and look at dad and say, I want to be just like you, dad, you're in good shape. When the little girl looks up and says, I want to be just like you, mom, then you're in good shape. Problem is, many of us didn't have that advantage. And many of the young people look at their mom and say, I don't want to be anything like her for a good reason. So then you got to find another hero, another person to emulate. And a person to try to be like. And because if you don't, you're just going to turn out like the person you didn't want to be like. Exactly. like them. In determining who to follow, how do you determine who to follow? Because it's normal for us to look to people and see and want to be like them and find people that want to emulate and people you admire. And it's good to have people you admire. We're showing the Bible that it's biblical to admire people and want to learn from them. But how do we know who that is? How do we find that person? First of all, the Bible says the way to do that is to consider their end. Consider their end. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Let's consider their end. Psalm 37, there's several verses. We'll read on this. Psalm 37. Consider their end. Have enough foresight to look and see what their life is like and what it's like in 10 years. Do you want to be like them when they're 40? Or when they're 50? When their glory days are supposedly past. By the way, if their glory days are past at 40, then there's something wrong with the way they're living. Because the Bible says you have glory in old age. They spent all young and they have nothing to glory in anymore. But people who live wisely are looking forward to getting older. Because they're going to reap a bunch of good decisions. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. We have not read this verse, but it's familiar, isn't it? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee to the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. It says it doesn't matter that he's doing real well right now. I want to say this. Wickedness does well for a little while. Wickedness does well for a little while. They have fun. They go around. The Bible says it's a pleasure of sin. Moses didn't want it. Knew it lasts for a season. And if you want to live an immoral life, you will have fun for a while, but you got to pay the piper. You got to pay the piper in the end. And the piper's Satan. And he comes to destroy you. Don't admire them because they're having a lot of fun now. In the end, and by the way, I saw this in the last week in my life. On Christmas, visiting relatives. Okay, relatives used to make fun of me. And who are doing very bad right now. And come to me for help. And have great admiration for our family, who used to mock our family. Listen, I want to say, consider the end. Do you really think, let's just go back, do you really think Britney Spears is going to be happy when she's 65? And is old and wrinkly? Marilyn Monroe was on top of the world, committing suicide. Okay? Do not think that wickedness is not fun for a while. It is. The Bible says it's going to be fun for a while. But consider the end. Consider the end. Consider the end. And you see that. Psalm 73 says this also. Psalm 73. And there's a person who got in great danger because he kept seeing the wicked people do well. And he almost backslid because of it. But then he had to remember the end of their life. Consider their end when it's bad. Psalm 73 and verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. This is Psalm 73. Neither are they plagued like other men. Verse 6. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. So they're doing well, and I was very down, and my feet were almost gone because I looked at the wicked and said, boy, they're having fun. They're not serving God, and they're just doing great and having a fun time with a smile on their face. And boy, he got in trouble. But Psalm 73 catches up, verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, went to church. Then understood I their end, their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down to destruction. So the girl who's 16, 17, 18, going around, being immoral, sleeping around. She's having a whole bunch of fun. Guys like her, hanging all over. Everybody's admiring her. Her emotions are wired to that when she gives her body to a man, she is attaching herself to him. And she's attached herself and got ripped out. And attached herself and ripped out. And attached herself and ripped out. And attached herself and ripped out. And when she finally finds the man she loves, she's going to have a real problem with attachments and emotions. She's going to be in trouble. She's going to be in trouble. The happiest people I've ever seen are the happiest people. And by the way, I've watched the whole spectrum from terrible, terrible, terrible immoral people and good friends who are terribly immoral. And I've watched the spectrum to the most innocent people who, if they touch a boy, they blush and are embarrassed and got to go confess their sins to God if they bump his arm in the hallway. Can I tell you, those really innocent ones are much, much, much happier throughout their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. A lot of people's grandpas who were married, grandpas and grandmas were married 60 years, and they still giggled and laughed and held hands. And they never touched anybody else. So when it looks like you're having fun, they are for a little while, but you got to consider, then I considered their end, and they're on slippery places. They're on slippery places. You consider their end. Number two, consider their lifestyle. Hebrews 13, let me just turn there quickly. Consider their lifestyle. Do you want to have their same lifestyle? You say, but I just listen to music. I like the style of their music. But music is so powerful, and you see somebody up there singing, and everybody cheering for them, and everybody screaming and yelling, and all the money, and you just naturally have a draw to be like them. It's natural. And so when you do that, you better be careful who you listen to or who you watch. And you say, that guy's so good looking, and she's so beautiful. But do you want to have their lifestyle? You want to be, is it Brad and Jessica, whoever the week? Brad and Jessica, they're divorced, they're married, they love each other, they hate each other, they beat each other, they do this and this. Do you want to live like that? Do you really want that part in your life? Every other week, some wicked person falling apart. This is Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Their conversation is their lifestyle. Very simple. Admire someone who you want to be like them when you be their age. Someone who you want to turn out like them. Someone whose life you want, considering the end of the lifestyle, and submit to them and follow them and say, I want to be like them. Because you know what? That's what I want to turn out like. That's what I want to turn out like. That's what you do. You find someone who you want to live like they live, and it's not a financial thing. It's a character. It's a solidity. It's the rock of their life. It's the security in Jesus Christ. It's the family that loves the Lord and loves them and admires them and is their friend. It's do you want to have that? Consider their lifestyle. I want you also consider their sacrifice for you to admire them. Look at Philippians. People who sacrifice, people who live a sacrificial good life are your heroes. Look for someone who's sacrificed, who's suffered for you, who's given themselves for you. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him also, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because of the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Listen, find heroes of the faith. I love reading biographies of wonderful godly Christians. We talk about Livingston, David Livingston, on Sunday. Attacked by lions, every kind of disease Africa could give, he had. I love reading stories about people, Patton, who went to the Cannibal Islands. People like Carrie, who was under such oppression, such hard times, and had two wives and a child die by going to the mission field. And the early Methodists who would go out and every single day were asked at the end of the day as they preached around, how many projectiles were thrown at you today as their midterm test points, and to figure out how many projectiles are thrown at them every day. And reading about Christians who are burned at the stake and fed of the lions, and the people in the New Testament who are beaten and rejoiced, they're kind of worthy to suffer shame for his name. Those are people who would be admired, people who suffered for Jesus. People who are willing to sacrifice so we could have faith, so we could have the Word of God. People who sewed the Bible inside their coat so they can continue to take the Bible and not be found with it, because they would be killed and the Bible would be burnt up, and carried the Bible around like that. And Christians live in catacombs, and all the things of the Christian faith, look and hold those people as your heroes. Why don't we put a poster on a wall of David Livingston instead of some great athlete who doesn't have the values and who isn't going to love the Lord and do those things? And there's a few of them. There's some good ones. There's been some athletes, and I'll say this, there's been some athletes who've kept a great testimony. We've had them in Seattle. We've had them all over, and I can name several of them where I still admire them and said, you know what, they kept it. It's very hard to do. Once you become rich and famous, it's very hard for a rich man to be godly. Very difficult. But some have done it, and some have kept their testimony. But we should find people who really, we want to be like them. We want to end up like them. Not how cool are they. Cool wears off. They're about 25. Then you want to do great things that matter. And do you want to be like that? Next, do they have how do we choose them? We said consider their end, consider their lifestyle. And next, do they have a corrupting effect on us? A little bit back from here, 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. The word communications is companionships. Companionships. Evil companionships corrupt good manners. They have a corrupting effect. And I want to tell you this. In my own life, as a pastor, as someone who loves the Lord, and someone who's learned the Bible, and someone who's certainly not perfect, but is on the right team and not doing wrong with his life, when I get around certain people, they corrupt me. I don't mean I go out and start murdering people or anything. I don't do that. I do that on my own. But I don't mean that they do that. I mean just all of a sudden I start wanting to tell little more edgy jokes. You know what I'm talking about? Just certain people bring out the worst in you. They corrupt you. They make it so you want to, all of a sudden, you just start having bad desires. The old life, all of a sudden, just gets really strong. The Bible says evil companions do that to you. And so stay away from, they have a corrupting effect. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, like a good friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. Have someone that makes you sharper for God. Find someone who lifts you up and makes you better. And last thing, do they follow Jesus? Do they follow Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And there's a lot of the verse I've written now, but 1 Thessalonians 1:5. You know my conversation among you, how I lived holy and just among you, Paul said. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow someone. Here's Jesus, and Jesus is walking right here like this. And here's them, and they're right behind Jesus. And they're just a step ahead of you, and they're following Jesus in the exact step, and just follow that person as they follow Jesus. Find the best Christians and make them your heroes. Don't make them an idol. The word idol is, you know, not good. We don't want to have idols. We want to have people that we can follow as they follow Christ. Find someone like that. Find someone you admire, someone you like. And by the way, parents, let me say this. Put good people in your children's life that can be the heroes also. Us parents should be number one, but also put people, if you find out there's a godly person they admire, get that person involved in your life. Kids, find someone that's godly and make them your hero. They may not dress in a $600 suit. They may not know everything that's happening in style. It drives me crazy. I go out and I play Trivial Pursuit. And I got a pretty good knowledge of history, pretty good knowledge of sports. I got a pretty good knowledge of a lot of different things, except for there's this one wicked subject called arts and entertainment. And here I am flying around that board doing great, doing arts and entertainment. I don't know what's going on TV. I don't know what's going on in the music industry. Is Elton John still at the top of the charts? I don't know what's going on. Listen. Are the Beatles still playing? Are they still on tour? But you know, I don't want to know. I don't want to know about wickedness. Bible says be simple concerning evil. So I have to hope that, and that on that, when I get to that subject, it's a softball from about 20 or 30 years ago. Who was the rock singer called the King in the 60s? I hope it's real easy, because I'm in trouble if it's not. And listen, folks, find someone in your life who loves Jesus. And kids, find someone who loves the Lord, and you want to turn out like them in 1,000 years. Because these people are going to disappear. They'll mean nothing. And if I started telling you who everybody wanted to be like right now, listen to me for a sec. If I started telling you the people of the past who everybody wanted to be like right now, you would laugh at them, kids. You say, who? He was never cool. Bing Crosby? There was a guy people like named Engelbert Humperdinck. And there are people that you would laugh at. And you would say, what a nerd, that guy. They used to think she was pretty. She was a movie star. She looks weird. And they're nothing now. Somebody used to live in the... Because they didn't build anything. They didn't build a good family. They didn't build anything for eternity. And then he got old and wrinkly. Had 75 surgeries and still look old and wrinkly. And they're nothing anymore. Look up here, kids. Look up here, kids. Look up here, kids. There we go. They're nothing anymore. They don't mean anything anymore. Nobody's admiring them anymore. Things disappear. Things change. And nobody ever thinks about the end, let alone when they're 50 and 60. How about in 10,000 years? What do they do for God? In 1,000,000 years, what do they do for God? Pick your heroes. Pick who you admire, no matter what your age. Pick them out very, very carefully, because you're going to emulate them. Let's just go ahead and pray. Father, help us not to follow vain persons. Help us not to admire the wicked. Help us to admire you and those who follow you and those who matter and those who will matter in 10,000 years and in 1,000,000 years and in 10 million years, Father. Thank you for the word of God. You warn us about this, Lord. And Lord, it's natural for us to look for somebody to be like and to learn from. And Lord, it's nothing wrong with it, Lord. We just got to pick that person carefully. Make sure our kids pick those people carefully. Make sure that we pick them carefully. Make sure we are very careful in this, Lord. And I pray to help us to be wise about this and not to go out and follow and admire and want to emulate and talk about and fill our minds with the wicked people, Lord, but with godly people and good people and righteous people, Lord. Please help us to do so and be careful in this area of our life and who we put in front of us. And Lord, help us to do this carefully. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And maybe even in your life,